You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to an incredible journey with internationally renowned lawyer of attraction, Paula Kidd Casey. Applying the skills gained over 40 years of practicing law, Paula uses facts, logic, and science to prove the validity of the Law of Attraction. Join Paula each week as she explores unique concepts, allowing you to rediscover the wisdom of the ancient masters, all while weaving in the science that proves magic really does happen. If you yearn for a life change or want to rediscover your passion, then share the path with Paula and begin to love your journey every step of the way.
Hi, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and welcome to my show, The Law of Attraction, on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. Once again, we get to spend the week together, and I'm so excited that this week that I get to bring you some good information and good energy, especially those out there that are parenting teenagers. And if you have small children, you need to be listening to this. And if you have older children, you need to be thankful that they're past teenage years. I had Muriel Phyllis on my show a few weeks ago, and she's interviewed me, and I thought it would be interesting to take a look at what she does from another standpoint. She helps parents use different energy tools to help raise their teens in less brutal environments. And I like the word brutal because any of us that have been raising teenagers know that it is brutal. And she gives us such amazing information. But we're also doing it this week. She's interviewed me, and we're doing it from the prospect of the Law of Attraction and how we can use the principles and the concepts in the Law of Attraction to help raise our teenagers and to give them a better outlook on life and a better start in life and to make it easier in the teenage years. So I want you to sit back and listen while this interview of me by Muriel Phyllis and on her wonderful podcast, and we will be right back.
Being a single mom and doing it all by yourself is brutal. Learn the brain and energy tools to get back to your center and overcome your challenges. Welcome to Single Moms Doing It All, the podcast to help you raise your teens in an easier and less brutal way. Today, I have a guest who is going to bridge science with spirituality. And I always love when that happens because now science is really backing up what they've been saying for thousands of years. Her name is, she's known as the Lawyer of Attraction. Her name is Paula Casey. And welcome, Paula. I just wanted to invite you in the show today because I love what you're doing.
I am thrilled to be invited, and I'm thrilled to connect with you, Muriel. There's a reason we came together, and you gave me goosebumps when you started talking. You know, you used the word brutal, and I'm a mom. That is such a good word for brutal. And my son is 27 now. My daughter is almost 39. You know, and they were normal, but my son really has some special problems. And so I so relate to what you're doing, and it is so necessary and needed in this time. And I just want to thank you for showing up and doing all this.
Thank you. I went through the fire myself. I'm still in it, but in a much easier way.
Yes. And that's I'm not sure if we ever get out of the fire.
I know, right?
It goes down a little bit when they get older, but
yes, but it's the best. Relationships are the best terrain to grow and learn the spiritual lessons we're supposed to learn.
Our children are our biggest teachers, right?
Oh yes. Oh yes. Because they know how to push our buttons in like seconds. And they know how to also connect to our heart in a deep, deep, deep way. So they are
because we stick with them because we are so connected to them emotionally. If anybody else treated us that way or said those things, we'd be out of there. But because you're right, we're so connected, we stay in the fire and we learn so much. And we grow.
We do.
More than they do.
Definitely. Well, we impact them and we don't realize always at the moment when we are doing what we're doing, but later on, sometimes you hear stuff and you see stuff and you're like, I taught them that and they didn't want to listen, but they did anyway.
That is so true. You know, we can't see the dots. We can't connect them going forward. Steve Jobs said you can only connect them going back. And it's very aware, you know, that unexamined life is not worth living. And so when we examine how those dots connected and everything happened for a reason, and I'm just telling all the moms out there right now, they connect. I promise you, they connect. You may be in the middle of dots, you don't know where they're going. But when you have a chance to look back, and I know you've got older children, right?
I have older children. I still have a teen at home. But I can see some dots connecting already.
Yes.
And it's such a reward when that happens, because you're like, okay, that was not for nothing.
Oh, we're planting seeds, and what they are blooming into are amazing. We have no idea what our kids are capable of doing and what they're bringing to the world. And the fact that we get to share that with them is such a blessing.
And I think that when you struggle and sometimes you suffer, when you know that it's not in vain, it makes everything more bearable. You have more resilience. There is a purpose, like Viktor Frankl was saying, you know.
Oh my God, that's my favorite, Man's Search for Meaning. Yes. Oh, that is my favorite book. I just quoted him on my show the other day.
Oh, good.
Oh my God, it's such a small book and it's such an amazing book.
It's powerful.
Yeah, it is very powerful. And I'm sorry I interrupted you.
That's okay. When you know it's not in vain, it's less painful.
Right. And the other thing, you know, he really brought up is that there is a point that it doesn't matter what happens around you, that you're the one that gets to decide how you're going to react in that moment. Right. So, I mean, I love his story that he was a physician and he helped and he decided he was going to be a physician at the concentration camp.
Yeah.
And he made a decision that that is our sovereignty, right? That we are the only ones that get to decide how we're going to think and react in that particular action, and that particular time. And I think we as parents need to remember that you just said they're pushing our buttons, but we get to make that final decision on how we're going to look at that and how we're going to respond, right? Because we're not in a concentration camp. We may think we are because our children are crazy, but you know, I love that book and I love what he brought.
You said, it's a choice. What I always tell people, because I talk about co-parenting with the universe, that's my thing. That's what I do.
Oh, I love that. I'm writing that one down. I love that one.
That's what I do in my life. That's what I teach moms. It's about looking where is your area of power, your area of powerlessness, which this one you give to the universe, and where you have power to be able to work on self-regulation, emotional regulation, so you can have that choice in the moment.
That is so important. And, you know, we can react. We can use our senses and we react to outside circumstances and then we're just going to get more of those. Or we allow ourselves that space. I mean, Viktor Frankl said there's a space between when something happens and when you respond. And if we can pry open that space as parents, as anybody that is navigating what we're going on right now, we have a choice to respond differently. And there's that space and we don't realize, and that's the now, right? That's the eternal now.
Yes.
And we don't realize how powerful it is and that we can quit talking, which I'm talking to myself, that we can quit talking and just kind of stay in that silence. And it's a nanosecond, but it can make all the difference in the world.
And I think, to me, the way I see it, it's courageous to look for that space.
Yes.
Because sometimes we don't feel like we want to do it. But if we have the courage to really prepare our brain, train our brain to look for that space, to have this moment of pause, then the power that we have in our life is multiplied.
I just love that. And first of all, we have to be aware that it's even there, right? So awareness is the first thing that we need to make sure our fans know, the people that listen to us know, everybody that we're working with knows that you've got to be aware it's even there. Yeah. And then you're absolutely right. We have to be courageous to take it because most of the time we're in a vibration. You know, I teach quantum physics. It's all of our emotions are just a frequency that we're on.
Yeah.
And when you're on a lower frequency of I'm feeling sorry for myself or I'm angry, you're comfortable. You kind of want to stay there. Yes. So you, because you're already there, right? It's hard to jump frequencies. It's not hard. We just have to be conscious of it.
Yes.
So be aware of it and then be courageous enough to say, I want a different thought, which produces a different emotion. And it is courageous and it is a decision. Until we make a decision, nothing else happens. And so when you decide to be courageous, I love that word you use. We can decide that we're going to respond differently to outside things in our lives.
And I think it's about having the tools too, because I've seen that with myself in my life. When you are in a certain powerful, intense emotional state, sometimes you cannot bounce back that quick. I use tapping, I use several tools, but you need to have a way to impact your nervous system so you're able to, so I describe energy like an elevator.
Uh-huh.
So you want to go from the basement to the first floor, because sometimes you cannot go to the penthouse right away.
Right.
To the first floor. And when you're stable at the first floor, then you can go to the penthouse.
Right.
How?
You can only vibrate a certain amount from where we are now, but we can choose to go a little higher.
Yeah. And that's
there are miraculous ways to jump much higher, but very rarely are we in those. And so we need to have the tools that really help people navigate where we are right now.
Is it because you work with the law of attraction, and I know you work with scientific facts. And is it frequent that you see people making the mistake of wanting to jump too high and get desperate, like they get desperate and they stop trying?
Well, here's what I normally find, because we kind of, when I work with people, we start out with setting goals, right? Because we've got to know where our destination lies, at least initially, so we can put it in the GPS and we can kind of follow the roadmap.
Yes.
Most people can't think big. So it's not normally that they can't jump from anger or hopelessness to joy. It's they can't even think, right? Because we're in a frequency. And so I tell them to set goals, and they're just setting goals that are maybe 10% more than where they are, because they can't think any bigger. Like parents could say, my goal is, I'm not going to yell at my child today, when your goal could be that we have this amazing relationship and he is our spirits attached to each other, right? So what I find more is that people have a hard time setting big goals. They are controlled by the frequency they're in, and so they can't even see a bigger picture. So I work with them to try to get bigger ideas because they don't usually try to, they may want to, but usually we're going up the stairs. Because like you said, literally this is quantum physics. There's a vibration and we can only get a little bit higher with a thought. Normally there's different ways to do it. There's two ways that we can do that. One is an intense emotional impact. If something amazing happens, let's say you have a near-death experience and hopefully it's near death and you come back, but you have some kind of out of the normal experience, you can jump those high frequencies because now you felt it, right?
Yes.
Normally, these intense emotional impacts are negative, like 9/11. Those are normally negative. And so then we've changed our frequency, but they can be positive. The only other way that we can change our frequency and our paradigms and our conditioning, which is what controls us 95% of our day, is repetition, right?
Yes.
Spaced repetition with emotion, constant space repetition with emotion. And then we can imagine, because, you know, our subconscious mind does not know the difference between real and imagined emotions. And we know that, right? We go to a horror movie and the zombie jumps out. And although our conscious mind knows that it's not really a zombie, although nowadays it might start being zombies. Who knows what's out there? But because we're afraid, our subconscious mind picks that fear up and our heart rate goes up, our adrenaline starts pumping more. And so we can use our imagination to think of new emotions, and we can do that on a constant spaced repetition. And that's how we can change our frequency.
Which brings my question, because you said people can jump, and it's about practicing an emotion.
Yes.
Because we have practiced, let's say, fear so long that it's our default mode. Or anger. I see a lot of people, they get angry so fast. And the repetition will help us go up with the vibration, even if it's just incremental.
Yes.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, when you say in certain circumstances, we can do a big leap, like for example, if something really emotionally impactful happens in good or bad.
Right.
That's because we get a reference point of how it feels, right?
Perfect. I love the word reference point because now we see that it's doable, right? If we don't believe it can happen, if we don't believe that we can feel that way, then we can't get there. Yeah. But if something amazing happens, right? But that's also a good thing. So, you know, people that win the lottery, right? You think that would be an amazing thing. 85% of the people that win the lottery go bankrupt within 5 years.
Yeah.
Because they have not changed their frequency from lack and scarcity and poverty to abundance. So even though something amazing happened to them outside, they still are in that lack and scarcity. So that is, they'll do anything. Their subconscious mind will do anything to get them back to that. So they give it away. They make stupid investments. But 85% go bankrupt within 5 years. And that is because they don't change their frequency. So something outside of it has to be so intense that we have changed our frequency and we want to stay there. But we don't have to wait for that, right? You and I both know tools on how to get people to do this. You know, Martin Luther King says, you don't have to see the whole staircase. You just have to see the next step.
The next step.
And that's what you and I do, right? We just show them the next step.
And what I know for myself that when I visualize big. What I find that people get stuck in when they come is that they try to visualize big, but they don't know how it feels and they have a hard time. How does that feel? So for me, I try to go back to memories in their life and the feeling of the memory, the feeling of fulfillment or joy or whatever we're working with. Do you have a tip to help people feel something that they have never felt? Because what you imagine is out of what you've lived so far, but you want something better.
Well, and you're right. I mean, memories help. And what we're doing when we're visualizing, we are creating future memories. And the more we do that, our brain says, oh, I remember that, although it hasn't happened yet. Right. So the more you do it, the more we are the neural pathways, right? The neuroplasticity that we talked about with Dr. Joe. The more you're doing that, the more you're causing these neural pathways. And one thing is, you don't have to feel abundance that you have $2 million in the bank, right?
Yeah.
You just have to have the feeling of abundance. So we don't have to have a memory that I've got so much money that I can't see straight. We just have to think of how the word abundance, how abundance should make us feel. And right now it's spring. I know you're out in LA and it's no big deal to you. But there are no leaves on the trees in Kansas. And I went out there today and I see little buds and I'm so excited. Okay, there's an abundance of grass, right? There's an abundance of leaves on the trees. Nature is abundant.
Yes.
And if we can start feeling that abundance, not because we have money in the bank account, you know, Greg Braden, he's one of my favorites.
Me too.
I'm like, marry him. If I wasn't married, he cared, but that's a whole other thing. He's wonderful. But he says the feeling is the prayer, right? It's not the words.
Yeah.
If we can get into the feeling of abundance or peace with our children, not peace with our children, but the feeling of peace, right? That's a frequency. The feeling of abundance, that's a frequency, not an abundance of money, just an abundance.
Yeah.
Because like I said before, when I have people that try to set goals, just like you said, they can't visualize big goals.
Yeah.
But I say, how do you want to feel? Abundant. Okay. When did you feel abundant? And not when did you feel wealthy, but when did you feel abundant? And we would start working with that. So it's the feeling, it's the frequency, it's the vibration, because we are a radio station. Whatever we put out, we're getting right back in, right? And the highest level of frequency is appreciation and love and joy. And you and I were talking about The Field, which is a book by Lynn McTaggart, but it talks about the field, right? The zero point field, the divine matrix, the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can call it many things.
So many terms.
But it is our connection to source, to the infinite, the Akashic record. The Hindus knew this a long time ago. But so our frequency, when we get it up high enough, that's when we can attach to source. And that's when intuition comes in. That's when we, when things are like they flow, right? That's when things flow. So it is worth working on your frequency. And I'm not sure I want to use the word working because that's a stress, right? But it's working. Yeah. I love being aware of it and being courageous enough to decide you want to do something different.
Because then it's effortless. And when I say effortless, it doesn't mean that we won't have to take action, but the action will be the feeling that you have while you're taking the action will be something completely different than work, like you were saying.
Right. I mean, I used to be an attorney and I was a divorce attorney for 40 years. And so I dealt with custody battles constantly. Right. And I felt like I was walking uphill in mud all the time. And I was good. And I won in court all the time. But it was constantly like my fists were clenched. Right. I was constantly walking uphill. But there is a way to get the final consequences that you want that is not difficult. You know, instead of walking uphill in mud, if you get in the right frequency, you're literally flowing down a stream. And it is knowledge and it's the courage to understand this and to take action on yourself, because that the only thing, when we see negative things in the outside circumstances, you know, it's just a reflection of ourselves, and we have to work on ourselves first before anything else happens. Absolutely. I would love to share an experience with you if I can, as far as my son goes. Okay. So, I was a divorce attorney, well, for 40 years, but like 15 years ago, I, started having panic attacks because I knew that this is not what I wanted to do. And I had no idea how I was going to change. Right. I was successful. I made a lot of money. We had a lot of bills. I had no idea. And I started having these horrible anxiety attack and panic attacks. And that is what got me on this road to Eckhart Tolle and Buddhists and learning how to meditate, because I didn't really know how to do that. So that's a dot that at the time I thought was horrible, but it got me on the way that I needed to be going. So I was on that. I had been on this journey for a long time, but when I started becoming certified and doing workshops, and then I would have like seminars, like I said, I'm in Wichita, Kansas, back when we could get together, and we are going to be getting together soon. I'm yes. putting that out to the universe. It's happening. But, you know, I would want things for them to do, because when it's experimental, when people do things tangible, yeah. it literally gets into your body and your brain more. And like you said, you like talking to people one-on-one, which is so yeah. much better than, because you can actually do things with them. So I was putting on this workshop. So I don't know if anybody out there has read E Squared.
Yes.
Okay. But with Pam Grout, she's a dear friend of mine. She doesn't live very far from here. And I had just found it, right? That's even before it became a New York Times bestseller. And it has the experiment on the dowering rods. You know, that one. Okay, so let me tell you, because this is fun for you guys.
The hangers?
Huh? The hangers.
I did that with my father and he was freaked out.
Oh my God, me too. Okay, so everybody home, you go and you get two hangers from the front closet, right? They're yeah. wire hangers. And you make them into 5x11 L's. You're going to have two L's that are 5x11. You're going to get a straw and you're going to cut it in half and you're going to put one on the end, the 5-inch end. And then you're going to hold them in front of your chest about 6 inches. And what happens is the electromagnetic currents of your heart, when you're thinking positive, it pushes those wire hangers out. And when you're thinking negative, it pulls it in. And it works. Is it amazing? I mean, it's amazing.
And not only that, I had my kids think about someone in the room and the hangers would turn toward the
person. Oh my God, I just told that to somebody else. I was thinking, and it does. It just turns to that. It is amazing. And because what it does is it shows people our thoughts actually affect our environment, yes. right? Yes. So I was just putting these together and I went, well, shit, this works. So I've been outside and I ran in to tell my husband it works. And I was telling my son, who at the time was probably 19 or 20. So I adore my son, but I've struggled. Don't want to use that word anymore because he's on his journey and we're here together, but there have been difficult times, and people that are listening to that know that we're difficult times. He was adopted. He has fetal alcohol. There were so many other things, really struggled in school, the best spirit, the best soul in the world, but he was still a teenager back then. Right. And so I was always waiting for the other shoe to drop. right? Yeah. I love him more than anything, but I was always waiting for something else to happen, right? So I'd say, Connor, come here. And so I've got my little, you know, hangers in front of me. And all of a sudden they just immediately push into me. And I went, oh my God, I had no idea. I had this negative energy about him, right?
Ah,
I'm his mom. I loved him. I had no idea that I had this undercurrent of this negative energy. And it was such a wake-up call. Talk about, you know, something outside of us. It was such a wake-up call because I was unconsciously, and I'm sure some of it was consciously, I was just waiting for something else to happen. I was waiting for something. Yeah. We had been through a lot with him. He had been through a lot. And we're all on this journey and everything comes out fine. But, and so I said to myself, all I'm going to do is hug him, send him texts, talk to him as many times a day, because it was like, he's in the basement. Good. He's in the basement, you know? And I said, no, I'm going to send him love. I changed me. I did not change him. He had no idea that that I had done any of this stuff. Within 6 weeks, he was a different kid.
That's the perfect example, because I was talking about working with energy with our teens when they don't want to listen to what we have to say, when they don't want our help. And I always tell moms, send energy, work on an energy level. You will feel that you have done something, so you'll feel okay, and they will receive it, whether they're conscious of it or not. And it does create change.
It is miraculous. And, you know, you talked about science and spirituality. I love the magic. And there is science behind this, but it is magical when you understand how much power you have to put out these energy, these frequencies, and what it does. I mean, just think what negative energy does to him, right? I mean, and you don't even know you're doing it. You think you're reacting. You think, okay, he did this. That's a normal reaction for me. I'm his mom. I'm supposed to tell him how to do these things. And when you realize the power that your energy, your love has.
Yes.
And I want to say, there's still differences with my son. He's always going to, I mean, he's diagnosed, you know, schizophrenic, paranoid schizophrenic. And this has been a tough time with the, you know, the COVID and stuff for him. So I don't want anybody to think it's a miracle cure, but it is so much better. And we know how to respond to each other. And we are together on this thing, right? We come up with good solutions. Not that there aren't difficult times, but, you know, I mean, so it's a journey that, you know, we never get it done.
No.
We never get it wrong because we're always working on it.
Like so, Abraham.
Oh my God, I was hoping you would say that. I love Abraham Hicks. That's who I listen to all the time.
Me too. I know that for me, that's why I started co-parenting with the universe. And the fact that you mentioned that there was something you were not aware of. In my story, I could not admit certain things to myself because I had too much self-judgment. So I could not admit that I didn't like my life as a single mom, because in my head, it meant I don't love my kids. And the night that I woke up in tears and realized that, and finally accepted that it did not make me a bad mother, it didn't mean anything was wrong with me, because we are walking paradoxes. And sometimes there are stuff that until we can look at it, that's the only way we can change the vibration of what's going on behind or under the surface. And then you change the dynamic with your teen. So what you did.
And we're so afraid of emotion, of negative emotion. So we push it down, right? Yeah. I shouldn't feel that way about my child. I shouldn't feel that way about being
a mother, shame.
Right?
Society is putting so much shame on it too.
Oh God, yes. And you know, it's still, everybody still looks at me funny because my son is a different kind of a wonderful person. And I could care less. I buried that a long time ago, but we have to bring it to light, right? Yeah. We have to shed light on it and we have to own it and say, this is an okay feeling to have. And I'm kind of amazed. This has been my journey this week. When you actually say, okay, I'm fearful, right? Or I don't like this.
Yeah,
it kind of dissipates. It kind of goes away.
It, if you let the emotion flow through you and out, yesterday my son sent me a text and he was like, I have a huge wave of sadness. I said, that's okay. Just acknowledge it will flow out soon. Because we're afraid of those emotions because we've been taught that everything should be shiny and polished and you should not feel any negative emotions. Otherwise, that means you're depressed and you need pills and blah, blah, blah. It's important.
And, you know, the positive thinking, people think you're just supposed to think positive. No, we got to acknowledge that we're human beings and acknowledge, you know, one of the things I use is the law of polarity, right? Up, down, in, out. Good, bad. So we have to acknowledge the things that we consider negative in our lives.
Yeah.
When we acknowledge those, then we see that there's a mirror of what the positive things are. It's a contrast. It's Abraham Hicks saying it's showing us contrast, right? So when we acknowledge those, we don't want to pitch a tent, right? No. We don't want to live in it, but I was one of those that didn't want to acknowledge it. I was strong. I was bossy. And I didn't want to acknowledge it. And when you acknowledge it, you can own it, right? And then it can go away.
And you can transform it too, because there is a message. It's a message from you to you. And what I find is that when I go into the emotion, I find the message that is, because it's usually, let's say there is anger. Why am I in anger? Because some boundary had been violated. And then that gives me an indication that I need to restate that boundary to the person or whatever, or to myself. I go where I'm in the bad neighborhood of my mind. And that's time for shifting, tweaking. And that way you are in alignment again. There are messages.
I love the word alignment. And, you know, sometimes we have boundaries up just because we've been conditioned that that's what you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Right. We're just walking around conditioned paradigms, right? We don't even know why something is setting us off.
Yes.
And when we can, just like we talked about, if you can stay in the now and give yourself some space and say, why is that pissing me off so bad? Right. You can kind of look at that and see why that is a trigger point. You know, we are all conditioned, and I am 68. So my generation,
you look amazing.
Oh, bless your heart. But my generation was really the ones that the parents were very strict and, you know, spanked you, and we turned out just fine. I got two thumbs up. Right. But so we are just our parents, right? We hear them in our mind. We can change that. We can decide we want to grow, but we can't beat ourselves up because of it, because that's what we've known.
And we can't even also spend our time blaming them. They did what they knew.
I know this blaming your mother stuff. Okay. Nobody blame their mother, because we don't want to be blamed. We're doing the best we can with what we've got in the present.
And it links on an energy level. Then you have a negative attachment to them and it drains your energy.
Oh yeah. Anything we can do to keep our energy high is so important. And that's going outside. Music will keep our energy high.
Yes.
I got Pandora and it's new age instrumental. And if anybody, it is like you're driving and you got it in the background. It's like, you know, in a movie, if there's a good background noise,
yes,
the soundtrack, you know, everything's going to be okay. And so I'm driving, I go, everything's going to be okay. It's such a good soundtrack. And it's then so nature funny. Is another way to get your energy up, right? Meditation is one that
depending
people
on the days, you have some days where music will do the trick. Another day you need a walk in nature. Another day, I don't know, you're going to need to punch
up a pillow.
Yeah, we are definitely connected.
Yeah, the one who want to beat up pillows, I know. That's okay. Those pillows are there for a reason. But, you know, and that's another thing. Let's just acknowledge that right now we're angry and we have a right to these feelings. But, you know, I think right now, I'm one of those that really believes that we're close to a different kind of reality, right? There's an energy out there and it's making all of us a little bit more edgy. It's not just the reality of what's going on in our country and our world, but do you believe that, Murali, that we've got this different energy and we're
there
like,
is a shift. There is a shift.
Yes.
Because a different kind of consciousness is
yes, our fifth dimension. Yes. Yes. And I think we're feeling things a lot more now than we did. And I think we need to give ourselves credit that it's okay, and let us, and especially parenting right now. You know, I mean, my 27-year-old still lives here, and we still have rules. And I mean, and there's, so, you know, I'm all, you know, he's always going to be living with us. And so, you know, it's never done, but we can decide. And right now it's kind of like pins and needles on sometimes, don't you think?
It is very intense.
Yes.
Intense. I have waves of emotions that I don't know where they come from. And
me too.
Energy around me probably. And because there is an energy of fear out there.
Yes. Yes.
And I think for people who are sensitive, you're probably very sensitive. I'm doing energy work. I'm doing Reiki and energy work. So I am sensitive. We pick up on that. So I always make sure to have a strong energy hygiene on a regular basis, because the same way that we take showers, we need to clean our vibration on a regular basis. Otherwise,
tell me how we do that.
So I have several ways. I have, every time I take a shower and I think about that, I imagine energy. And
I just did that. And I didn't know that. I just said, okay, the bad stuff's going down that drain.
And until you can feel, some people feel, some people see, I'm a feeler. So I can feel that everything is clear. And then I imagine that I fill up my aura with light and I seal it before I go out meeting with other people. I put a ceiling around my energy field, and that protects me. The other way, I have a meditation. I have a kit that I send moms. I have a chakra clearing meditation where I guide people to summon the energy of the earth, because there is a healing energy in the earth, and clear each one of your chakra.
Okay, I knew I was going to be on your show for some reason. I went outside and I grounded myself. And it's 50 degrees out here, so it's kind of chilly. But I had my feet on the ground without anything on them. There's a reason we're together, because I did both of those things today.
There is.
I don't usually do those things. I love that.
And it's crucial to do that on a regular basis when we're parents and we go through stuff. Now with everything that's going on, and even in general, because your vibration will be higher. When I do that meditation, I see fragments of dark stuff being ejected. You know, stuff can stay lodged in our physical body, in our emotional body, in our aura. So it's important to clear. Which I just had a question that I wanted to ask you. Using, because you teach people about the law of attraction, about vibration, about vibrating at a certain level. How do you use that? You mentioned a little bit already with your son using that in your parenting. Do you have practices or routines or something that you do with your vibration that helps you parent or being the best wife you can be, the best you can be?
When I have a program I teach, and I have what's called a transformational toolkit, and I send them, like you send your things, but there, it's like a now bracelet, right? And there's sticky notes that we have put over everything. There you go. There's crystals that I put in the window so that when it makes rainbows, I leave myself notes, little cues all day that when I see them, it brings me back to the present moment, right? Because we are on autopilot all day. Yeah. So those things help me say, okay, get out of that funk. You're in the present moment, and just take a big, deep breath and try to quiet my mind. Because what happens is we spiral down. Something happens. And like you said, you go to that bad neighborhood, and we don't even know we're doing that. And so I leave myself clues and cues kind of all over the house. So when I see it, I go, okay, nothing bad is happening. I'm taking a big, deep breath. When I do that, I can keep my energy up. Now, you know, my son doesn't really necessarily want to hear what I teach, right?
Yeah, mine neither.
Right. I can sneak it into conversations, and we can kind of talk to it. You know, he's a big Star Trek fan. And so it's amazing how a lot of those, you know, plots kind of go along with us. And so we talk about this. If he's having a really tough time, I'll put my hand on his chest and I'll put my hand on my chest and we breathe together.
Yeah.
And he will do that. Now, he doesn't want to hear the mumble jumble that he and I teach, but he'll do that energy stuff. So it's really just trying to stay in the now and really send him love and calm myself before I have interactions with him. And my husband, he just kind of comes along for the ride. he's wonderful, and his energy is wonderful. So, yeah. And it's been, you know, we don't have the lockdowns like you do. We can go out and do stuff, but we're still all in the house a lot more than we used to be. So it's been a learning experience.
It is a learning experience. And like you said, they don't necessarily want to hear what we teach. Although my son is doing Reiki on his friends and he never really, he does it naturally. And I pull myself Oracle cards every day to receive some messages on what I need to focus on. And my kids have decks, two of them. The third one doesn't want anything to do with that, but they give readings to their friends. So like who they are is resonating with what I'm doing and they do their own way. But we impact them for sure with who we are and way more than what we say even.
Absolutely. They feel our energy and they feel the good energy and they feel the love. So when Connor was 4 or 5, he was little, we were out walking and there was a dead bird on the sidewalk and he went over and he was putting his hands over it. And I said, honey, don't touch the dead bird. And he says, Mom, I just want to feel the energy. Wow. I want to feel if the energy is different on the dead bird than a live bird. I went, oh my God. You know, I mean, and this was probably before my journey. Yeah. So I don't know if you know about the Indigo children or the Star children, but I really think this generation has a vibration that is bigger than ours and gets it. We just need to honor them. And I think when we get our vibration up, that helps them. I think they're more sensitive than like my generation. But I love the new ideas that, you know, their brains are developing. I mean, the autism spectrum, you know, they're diagnosing it as a negative, but some of this can be just amazing ideas that they think of. I think we're just thinking, they're thinking differently than we have.
I think also, sometimes autism, if it's very severe, it's hard to communicate with them. But when you can communicate with your child, my son was diagnosed ADHD, and I was watching a TED talk about a guy who is ADHD, and he took it as a gift because when he was a young kid, his parents gave him the opportunity to try so many things. So like they say, like Abraham Hicks said, it's like a stick and you have the negative end and the positive end of the stick. And depending on what you're going to put your attention on, that's going to be your experience. So I was always trying to tell him that even though it may be more challenging to study in the format that school is taught nowadays for ADHD kids, there are also positive sides of it. So we were trying to concentrate on looking for those because you're going to find what you look for, whether it's Absolutely. Something horrible or something positive.
So, and you know, Edison was ADHD. Einstein were. I mean, their brains thought different. If their parents said there's something wrong with you, I love this story. Edison got kicked out of school in second grade. This is not a lie. His mom homeschooled him from second grade on in their garage. And she kind of just let him do what he wanted. Now, if we would have diagnosed him and said it was negative and said whatever he was doing, he would not have had the ideas that he did. These kids are amazing. They have these ideas. I know they can be a challenge at some degree, but absolutely right. If we can realize what they have to bring to the world and concentrate on that and give them their accolades for that, right?
Yeah.
Then you're going to get more of that instead of the negative aspect of it.
They will do whatever they believe they can. So,
isn't that amazing? It is. We put those ceilings on them. And I think we're going to be going into different educational system when we get, when our energy gets up higher, that people are going to think differently and stuff. So I'm excited for the future. I'm excited for our generation of kids.
Yeah, it's going to be, they are amazing in the way they are thinking. Even they're more tolerant than our generations were. There is a question I ask everyone that comes on the show, and it's, what is your definition of self-love?
Oh, that's a good one. You know, I had lunch with a lady that's taking one of my courses, and, you know, we were talking about that Jesus really only gave us two laws at the very end. One is love the Lord God with all your heart and all your might and all your soul. And the other one is love your neighbor as yourself. Yeah. And we were talking about as yourself, right, is in there. So people go, no, but you have to love yourself first. And I think if you get into a vibration of appreciation, right, you're appreciating whatever you can. You're not necessarily appreciating something negative in your life, but you can look at other things that are positive in your life. If you can get to that level of appreciation and understand that you're part of the universe, right? That you appreciate everything that you do yourself, that we show up, right? You moms out there that get up every morning and show up. Oh my God, I'm right with you there, sister. Just the fact that we show up, we should be loving ourselves. So, you know, really there's three things that God says to do: love him, love ourselves, and love our neighbors. And when we understand that is so important, that he loves us and we love him, I think when you get a bigger picture and you don't beat yourself up for the small things that happen during the day, I think self-love is understanding we're part of the co-parenting with the universe, right? We're part of this bigger picture. And do you know who Chiron is? Is that how you pronounce it? He channels. It's Lee Carroll that channels. I just got into him. He's like Abraham Hicks on steroids.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's amazing. But he's talking about that you talk to your higher self, and your higher self adores you, right? Can you get into that adoration that your higher self really adores you like we adore our kids? Usually we don't think anybody adores us, and we're supposed to be spreading the love the other way. And when we understand there's this adoration coming from this higher self, it really, there's a flow, right? I mean, there's a flow.
That's perfect, because I teach moms, single moms sometimes, and I know I did. You support everybody. Nobody's supporting you, especially for me being alone in a country where I don't have family or anyone. I was craving love. And when you're in that state, it can be dangerous because you're craving it from the outside.
When you run out of it, right? You think you're running out of it when you're giving it to your kids.
And you need to love yourself, and you don't get... So I teach moms to summon love, because that's what I did myself.
Sitting, ooh, I love the word summon.
I summon God, loves from God, the universe, whatever is your terminology. And I can literally feel it physically in my chakra here. And when you summon that, it fills you up, and you have what it takes to distribute it to yourself and to others.
Well, and you know, I love the River Jordan analogy, right? It runs into the Dead Sea, and it runs into the Sea of Galilee. And you know, when it runs into the Dead Sea, it's dead because it doesn't have any outlets, right? It just fills up and it doesn't have any outlets, so it's dead. But when it runs into the Sea of Galilee, it's flowing. The Sea of Galilee gives it out. There's this energy. And so we have to understand that giving and receiving are the same thing. And we have to receive love from other people and from the universe, from source, from God. And we have to know that we're worthy enough to do that, because we just can't. We've got to be able to give, and we've got to be able to receive, or we become the Dead Sea. We want to be the Sea of Galilee. And you're going to Israel, and I'm going to come visit you.
Oh, yeah, of course. Definitely.
Go see all that. So I love that. That's a good analogy, that we've got to be able to bring it in as well as give it out, or, you know, we run out of energy.
We do. Where can people find out about you, connect with you?
Well, I love that question. My name is Paula Kidd, K-I-D-D, Casey. So PaulaKiddCasey.com, LawYearOfAttraction.com. They both go to the same place.
I love that.
I have a podcast under the Law Year of Attraction. It's on all the platforms. I'm on the Law of Attraction Radio Network. I have a book out on Amazon called The Lawyer and the Law of Attraction. And I'm on Facebook under the Lawyer of Attraction and under Paula Kidd Casey. That's a good way to get a hold of me. So I'm out there and I would love to connect with anybody that has any questions, and wants to get together. So, and I certainly appreciate you being so open to having me on your show. I just loved it.
I loved it too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I loved our conversation and we resonate on so many.
It was perfect. We were supposed to be together.
Yes. So thank you. And for our listeners and viewers, I'll be here next week, probably alone. But go ahead and check the lawyerofattraction.com. And I love that title. That's such. I'll see you next week with another episode. Bye. Mwah.
And we are back. I really appreciate Muriel's energy and authenticity and her commitment, because as a single mom, she has gone through this and she has come up with some wonderful programs and some wonderful ideas. So I encourage you to go to Single Moms Doing It All and look up what she has to offer if you're going through a time in your life and in your children's life that this can happen. And as always, I'm always thrilled to have a time to speak with you and to share information with you that hopefully helps our lives get a little bit better. Please go to my website at lawyerofattraction.com. There's some amazing information and programs that you can sign up for, or send me an email at paula@paulakidcasey.com. My podcasts are on all the platforms, and I've got a book on Amazon. Really looking forward to hearing any information that you might like to have me present, or any questions you need us to talk about. So, as we always say, we're just walking each other home, and I am so proud and honored to be able to be on this journey with you. And so until next week, this is Paula Kidd Casey, and I am the Lawyer of Attraction.
Thank you for joining Paula Kidd Casey on Lawyer of Attraction radio show. For more information about Paula programs and her book, please visit www.lawyerofattraction.com. Until next week, may you experience the magic of manifesting genuine abundance.